Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in West Bloomfield, Michigan, and earned a BS degree in education from Michigan State University. A teacher at heart, her life was changed forever by a horrific auto accident in January 1985. Today, she is the director and co-founder of Reaching Higher, which is a middle and high school leadership program encouraging students to make positive choices in their lives. Her name, Susie Dorman, and we're honored to have her as a guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Susie Dorman, the executive director and co-founder of Reaching Higher. Susie, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
My childhood and my mom and my dad? My dad actually started Dunham's Corporation, and my first job was, you know, working in the store and actually counting worms. That was my very first job. And I worked in my father's and my mother's business for my whole life until I became a school teacher. So I was blessed with a nice family.
What's the biggest thing you learned other than counting worms from your dad? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom?
The biggest thing I learned from my dad is to work hard. And that, you know, that really hard work and a strong intention can create anything you want in your life. And my mom was all heart. My mom was the heart of the family. My mom was a very loving, giving, nurturing person. There wasn't anybody that she wouldn't help. And so I learned to be selfless for my mother.
Susie, when did you know you wanted to be a school teacher?
You know what? Back in my day, it seemed like you became a nurse or a school teacher. And I always loved kids. And, you know, when I see blood, I faint. So I decided, you know, I would try school teaching. But, you know, it's always been my greatest joy to teach kids and to be with kids. When I'm with kids, I just come alive.
You've been around kids for 40-plus years.
I have.
You've seen thousands of teachers. What do all great teachers have in common?
A heart to make a difference for a child. Just one child's life. When you see the spark in their eyes and light come into them and they're full life, you know what? That's a great teacher. And most teachers that I know do it because they love the kids.
How has education and our schools, Susie, changed in your 40-plus year teaching career?
You know what? I think more and more schools are focused on kids' academic scores instead of the whole behavior of the child. It seems like there's more and more pressure. Back when I was teaching school, Jack, I used to take Friday afternoon off with my second graders, and we'd have a fun project and do something really fun together. Actually, you know what? One time, the kids were so out of shape, I worked through our lunch hour, and we were in a race together. We ran actually a 3-mile race together, and we trained after right at our last hour of school together. So you know what? I school has changed a lot because you don't have any free time anymore. You know, it's all just really curriculum and MEEP scores and having to meet, you know, all the standards. So it's gotten a lot more regimented for teachers.
What advice, Susie, would you give to a listener who's thinking about becoming a teacher?
I would say do it. It's the greatest career that you could ever have. Every single moment that I was in the classroom with my kids, I knew I was in the right place serving God the right way. And I always felt like there was no other place I'd rather be than with my second graders.
You've taught thousands of kids.
I have.
Are there one or two that stand out that you think back and say, wow?
You know what? I'm still in touch with some of my second graders, actually. And one of my my second graders, Nick Rigian, is actually, his mother volunteers in our organization. And actually, Nick, I just went to his wedding last year, and Nick's going to have his first baby in the next couple weeks. So I'm still in touch with some of my second graders. It's great.
Of all the teachers you've had through the years, who's the best teacher you ever had, and why?
The best teacher I ever had was actually probably my mentor, Diane Szymanski, my mentor in a leadership course that I taught. Because she was so full of life and so passionate, and her intention was all about changing people so that they could have a better future. And she sowed seeds into me when I didn't believe in myself. She walked alongside of me till I could believe for myself.
We're talking to Susie Dauman, who was in a horrific auto accident in January of 1985, which changed your life. And we'll talk about it when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Susie Dauman, who in January of 1985 was in a horrific auto accident which changed your life forever. Talk about that accident.
Jack, I was on my way to teach second grade. Actually, I had taken the morning off of work that morning because my daughter was sick. And I dropped her off at the babysitter and was heading into school at noon that day, driving down Benstein Road to Walled Lake Elementary, where I had taught for 15 years, and a semi-truck pulled right out in front of my car. I had one of those little small Scirocco Volkswagens, and I didn't have my seatbelt on. My head hit the rearview mirror, and I pushed through the windshield of my car. And I had over 500 stitches in my forehead, and I was in a coma for 9 hours.
And you went through the tunnel of life.
I did.
Talk about that.
I did. You know, the one thing I can remember is that it felt like I went up this dark tunnel, and I felt a hand on my forehead just push me back down. And I felt, and then I woke up in the intensive care room, and I always felt that was the hand of God, that he had pushed me back down for some reason, and that, you know, I was lucky. I was here for a reason, and that I had another chance at life.
People that go through the tunnel, they talk about the bright, everything is white. What did you see?
You know what? I just felt like I went up a long tunnel that was just actually dark, and then I just felt that hand push me back down. But I didn't see anything else. I just felt the hand of God on me, that I was not to leave yet. I was here to stay.
The doctors told your family you were severely brain damaged.
Yes.
Huge recovery from memory, etc. And you'd lost an awful lot of confidence. So you decide to learn about this Dale Carnegie course. Talk about that.
Well, you know, as a kid, I never really had a lot of confidence, Jack. And certainly after the accident, it was hard. It was hard. You know, when you leave the hospital, they don't tell you how to recover from something like that. So I didn't have a lot of confidence. I actually was dizzy a lot, lost a lot of memory. I went back to teaching second grade after a month at rehabilitation at home. And I realized as I knelt down next to one of my second graders to tie a shoe that I had forgotten how to tie. You know, one of my second graders asked me how to spell believe, and I said, you know what, just wait a minute, I'm going to look that up. You know, so I felt like I was hiding behind a mask and not being who I really was because I was afraid that everybody would find out how dumb I was. And so a real good friend of mine, one of our best friends, had just taken a Dale Carnegie course, Dennis and Diane Holland, and they own Pine Lake Marina, and they've been our friends for my whole life. They had just taken it, and they came over for dinner, and we're talking about it, and I thought, wow, you know what? Maybe I should try that, you know? And I thought, that would be great. So I enrolled in the Dale Carnegie course in that next September, I think it was, and it changed my life. It helped me to believe in myself again. My instructor was an amazing woman, Laura Field, and she called me Sunshine. I remember she always called me Sunshine, and I felt like it was okay if I wasn't smart. You know, it was okay because I had been given this gift of loving people, and that it didn't have to be smart enough, that I could be God enough.
After you graduated from Carnegie, they were looking for new training instructors.
And they were.
And there were 60 applicants. They were going to choose 6.
Yeah.
And somehow you were one of the 6.
I know. You know what? I was so determined that I was going to change people's lives the way they had changed mine. And I thought, you know what? Memory contest. That's going to be such a challenge because, you know, I had a lot of challenge with remembering things and memorizing things. But I was determined. I put it on little cards. I recorded it on earphones. I listened to these principles. You had to know Carnegie principles backwards and forwards and be able to recite them in a memory contest. And you know what? I came in 2nd. I blew myself away.
You go to a training session.
Yeah.
And one of your little second graders is in the class.
I know. I went one night to see a Dale Carnegie training that they were training other instructors. I walked in, and through the grace of God, I looked. Judy Lubowicki was there. Judy Lubowicki was my second grader. And I thought, wow, if Judy can become a Dale Carnegie instructor, so can I. So it gave me new hope.
Speaking of hope.
Yeah.
A surprise 50th birthday party that your husband, Denny, put on, and a lot of your friends.
Yeah, he's special.
Changed your life and has changed the lives of thousands of young people. Talk about that surprise 50th birthday party.
I had a surprise 50th birthday party, and my husband, Denny, had put a little fire in everybody's Christmas card. So there was probably 150 people there. All my kids were there. Everybody was there. And they raised $3,000 to start Reaching Higher that had come to me in my quiet prayer time, that it was a way that I could help kids.
Where did you see the need? And how did this whole idea for Reaching Higher come about?
Well, Jack, one of the things that I did to heal myself after my accident was I started to run, and I ran a marathon. And then I also started to spend quiet time and meditate in prayer. It helped me, and I wasn't dizzy, and I didn't lose my vision on the days that I would sit quiet. So I decided to sit quiet for 2 hours a day. And it came to me in that quiet time that there were... There's 3 facets to a human being: the body, the mind, and the spirit. When you lift the spirit and encourage people, they become all that they can be. And I realized that in our school system, there was a missing link. Nothing to empower, support, and inspire kids to reach their full potential. And I saw that hole in our school system when I was sitting quiet. And I put together a Dale Carnegie course, actually, in my neighborhood. And I realized that a lot of people wanted something for their kids but couldn't afford it. So I decided, you know, all kids deserve to feel special about themselves. So I went and spent some quiet time, and I was laying back on the beach one day, and I saw a hand go up into heaven, and it said, "Higher, reaching higher, bring God's love to the children."
The class,
yeah,
is 2 hours per week.
Yep.
9 weeks, the 9th week is the graduation, mm-hmm. 25 kids in a class. You charge $200 per student.
That's right.
How do you find the schools that come up with the money to do this?
You know, none of the schools really come up with the money, Jack. Actually, all the money is donated through our nonprofit. It's donated by business owners, Rotary, Kiwanis, Optimist Clubs. It's all been funded, almost all, outside the schools. So schools sometimes have some money, a small stipend to put towards it, but it's really benefited the kids in the school so much that it's grown and grown over the last 16 years, and we've been in over 30 schools.
We're talking to Susie Dahlman. If you want to learn more, www.reachinghigherinc.org. ReachingHigherInc.org. When we come back, we'll ask her about the 9-week program. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Susie Dorman, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Reaching Higher, which was founded in 1997 and is a middle and high school leadership program which encourages students to make positive choices in their lives. There's 9 sessions.
Yes.
2-hour sessions. Mm-hmm. First session, You're a Miracle. Second week, Remembering. Third week, Purpose in Life, Setting Goals. Talk about that third session.
Great. We have the kids set goals, Jack, and it's really powerful the way we teach them how to set goals, because so many, you know, kids set goals but never really reach them. So we set them how to teach them how to set goals and to reach their goals, and we set 3 goals. We set a school goal, a personal goal, and a relationship goal. And we have them really identify what are they going to do differently to reach that goal. In other words, how are they going to take responsibility for their own actions and intentionally create the life that they want to create? So the kids' grades go up, and we have mentors that mentor the kids. And so every week we do a goal check, and we check on how they're improving their goals. You know, what are they doing? Are they turning in their homework now? Are they going to after-school places to get help with their homework? Are they asking for help? Because so many of them are afraid to ask for help. And we always say, you know what, ask for help not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. So we even identify study periods or mentors that can coach them to get better grades. So we follow them through the 9 weeks, and at graduation, they give a report on how they have successfully completed their goals. Another really important part is their relationships, especially with their parents, improve. Because so many times they think they're victims instead of victors over their life, and they make their parents wrong instead of taking responsibility for their part.
Susie Dorman, the fourth session is Managing Stress. Not just kids today. Everybody is stressful. Talk about what you teach them in managing stress.
In the stress session, because everybody has so much stress now, even the AP students and the kids that are really academically doing well, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. So we teach them, we actually identify their stresses, and they all talk about their stresses, so they realize that they're not alone, Jack, that there's other kids that have just as much stress as they do. And then we talk about what are the skills. Our program is a tool built for life. So our program is called The Power of Hope, The Skills to Cope. We tell them, you know, stress is part of daily life. It's not what stresses you, it's how you handle the stress. And so we give them tools on how to handle stress in a positive way so that they can deal with it.
We're talking to Susie Dorman, Executive Director and Founder of ReachingHigherInc.org.
Yes.
Fifth session, Changing Limiting Beliefs. Sixth session, Fear to Freedom.
Yeah.
88% of what we worry about never happens.
Absolutely.
Fear is F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. How do you get kids to go from fear to freedom?
You know what we do? We do an exercise. It's actually called an exercise of stumping. And actually, we have them declare what their greatest fear is. Because, you know, they say state the fear and the death of it is certain. So we have them not bottle up, but express it. And then talk about what would happen if that fear dissipated. What would their life look like if they let it go? And then they talk about what it would look like, and then we declare, everybody together, they clap and they declare, and they step forward into their freedom. So, like, a lot of kids now are afraid that they're not going to get into college. They're afraid they're not going to be able to be what they want to be. And so we teach them that fear also stands for forgetting everything is all right, that they have to walk through their fear to get on the other side to be free.
Session 7, positive life choices.
Absolutely. We teach the kids that, you know, they're the sum total of their choices, not their chances. It's not what's happened to in our life. It's what we do with what happens to us in our life that makes us successful. In positive life choice, they make a life-declaring choice of what they're going to live into. Some kids say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything else to hurt myself anymore. I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, and what they do is they make a choice to do things differently to create a different outcome. And in that session, Jack, all the kids acknowledge the strengths that they see in each other. And it's powerful because in positive life choices, they all say the positive things that they see in each other. So in other words, if you were one of my speakers, Jack, after you speak and you tell us your positive life choice and what you're going to declare in your life, like your ticket to success, then we all, as you stand up there, we have a big poster, we all yell out all the positive things we see in you. And the kids, so many of them don't realize that everybody else sees them in a positive light.
The eighth session, happiness through giving and loving.
Absolutely. And that one, we know the power of appreciation, the power of really appreciating one another. And that session, again, is very powerful. They actually write a letter in that session about the changes that they made in reaching higher and what they're declaring for their life and the new possibilities that they see for their future.
What kind of results have you had? You started out in 97 with just a couple of kids. And this year you're planning on affecting 750.
Absolutely, yep.
What results are you getting, Susie?
We're getting amazing results. We had a parent survey that was amazing. The parents survey the kids at the end of the at the graduation. The parents see so much change in the kids. Kids have hope for the first time, Jack. They see possibilities like, you know what, I could go to college. You know, I can do the things I want to do in my life. And it's so great to see them stepping into new possibilities for their life and for their future. It's really moving at graduation to see the parents talking about the kids and the changes that the kids made.
Susie Dolman, how does a kid get into this class?
It's really great. We say it's an opportunity for them to grow. It's through the counselors and through the teachers in the school. They identify the 25 kids. It's a leadership opportunity to build not only a character in the kids, but also character and strong ethics, morals, values in their schools. So they're kids that are identified. We usually bring 5 top leaders, 15 middle-of-the-road kids, and 5 maybe lower kids. But I say all kids are at risk. Everybody deserves this class. No one needs it. Everyone deserves it.
If you want to learn more, www.reachinghigherinc.org. You say that the world is knocking at your door with kids. If there's a parent tonight that says, I would love this from my kid's school, how can I bring Reaching Higher to our school?
Great. You know what, Jack? They would just call our office. And we actually work with the schools to create the funding for the schools. So we would work in your community to create the funding for the school and create a class in your area for your schools. We're training teachers all the time.
As I listen to parents today and watch, these kids are holed up in their home. The average kid is spending 623 minutes at a computer a week, all right?
Yeah.
Half an hour a week spent in meaningful conversations with their parents. Over 2,100 minutes of TV watched by a middle schooler per week. Video games.
Yeah.
They're addicted to the video games. How do we stop that, Susie?
Do you know what? I love about Reaching Higher, Jack? It's the one time where kids can really be listened to and really have a chance to speak their truth and have, you know, you look each other in the eye and they're able to communicate authentically. We talk about taking our mask off and being real who we truly are. We're losing a lot of the really important things in our culture that actually help to make us strong, and that is, you know, there's a lot of technical communication with texting and with the computer, but, you know, the eye-to-eye communication, the heart-to-heart communication is getting lost. And this class really brings about a lot of being authentic, being listened to, and really heard to back to the kids.
We're talking to Susie Dahlman. When we come back, we'll ask her what our young people want and need today. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a phenomenal lady with phenomenal enthusiasm, executive director and co-founder of Reaching Higher. Susie, our young people today, what do they want and what do they need today?
You know what, Jack? They need a strong foundation. So many of them don't have anything to stand on. You know, back when we were young, we had, you know, a family around us. We had community people that knew us. They had, you know, the man at the corner store knew us, and you know, everybody knew our families. Kids don't have that anymore. They don't have community around them the way they used to, and they don't have family around them. It's sad to go into our schools and see the lack of, you know, parental support and family support that is missing for a lot of our kids. We have some great families. I'm not saying that everybody is like that, Jack. I'm just saying that there's a lot of kids that are falling through the cracks.
If we could give everybody, not just kids, everybody self-confidence, so many of the problems would go away, alcoholism, sexual addiction, you know, drugs, etc. How, Susie, do we give our young people true self-confidence?
You know, Jack, I spent time this summer with a real special friend of mine that's a Christian, amazing Christian man, and he put it in a real simple form, and I think this is so true, and Reaching Higher does this. When we give our kids a lot of attention, it creates a connection, which creates correction, which creates hope, and it creates the miracle that they are. The kids in our world aren't getting the attention that they need. Everything's moving too fast. In our course, they get a lot of attention from mentors, from our teachers. Our teachers are like angels, and so are our mentors from all the communities. We had over 80 mentors in our last cycle. They really give the kids attention that they need, and they rise up and they start to care about themselves because somebody else cares. And when they care about themselves, then they stop cutting. They stop, you know, the drug and alcohol abuse. You know, in our last class in Howell, we had 8 kids talk about suicide.
Speaking of which, if there's a parent out there tonight that says, I'm afraid to say no to my kid, to stand up to them because I fear he or she will commit suicide, Susie.
Yeah.
What should I do?
You know what? You got to follow your heart, and you have to stand up to them, because I think that, you know, our kids are crying out in our world today for attention and for love. And sometimes, you know what? It's like turn everything off and just go spend time. Go for a walk in the woods and, you know, go out and just spend a day with just them, making them the most special thing in the world. There isn't any greater way that you can spend your time. So I think, you know, if a parent feels, for some reason, they need to talk to their kids, then they have to be authentic and share their heart with their kids, because that's what they're going to get back. If they're authentic, the kids are going to be authentic.
Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub, told me once,
okay,
quote, "You can live 30 days without food. You can live 8 days without water. You can live 5 minutes without air. But you can't live 10 seconds without hope."
Yeah.
You've mentioned hope a couple times. Susie, what's hope?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Jack. You know, I thought about it today, where you were going to ask me. You know what hope is? Hope is seeing a glimpse of possibility when you thought it was impossible.
How do I get that, Susie?
You know, through somebody else's eyes sometimes. Sometimes, Jack, we have to hope for each other. I love that saying, don't walk ahead of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my friend.
Speaking of hope, us Cubs fans, you know, it's been 105 years. We've been hoping for 105 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, yeah.
Talk about our schools today, Susie.
You know what? I feel like our schools are one of the darkest places on our planet. You know, I think that all of us need to wake up and sow seeds into our schools. You know, it was always been a dream of mine to bring, you know, I always picture myself with a torch going into schools to bring light, because it's a dark place. It's tough for the counselors. It's tough for the teachers. You know, the kids are trying to keep up academically, trying to fit in, trying to show up strong. And you know what? A lot of them can't keep up, so they give up.
One of your dreams, Susie Dahlman, is to bring God back to schools.
Absolutely. It is.
Impossible.
No. It's possible. And you know what? Actually, we're starting to have churches that are sowing seeds, adopting schools. So a church would come up with the mentors and with the funding and adopt a school in their community and sow that money into the schools for our program. And I've got my first possibility opening up, actually, with that. And so it's exciting, Jack, to see, you know, there's good people everywhere in every community that want to help the youth, because the youth are our future. They're everything to us, you know. And so I wouldn't want to grow up today in this world. You know, I mean, you can't even graduate from high school or from college and get a decent job. You have to get a master's. So I'm just saying, you know, the more we can help, every American should be reaching into their schools, reaching into their families and their kids, and lifting these kids up to give them the morals, values, and ethics that we grew up with.
Do our kids want God in their life?
You know, they want love. God is love. You know, there isn't a child that doesn't want love. They might have a lot of bricks built up, Jack. The kids come into our class, they're all scrunched up, they're looking down, they got the hood up, their hair's all down in their face, and you can't even see their eyes. But at the end of the class, their hair's back, their hood's back, and they're standing there reciting a poem that they just wrote or something. You know, it's just so great.
Susie Dahlman, what goals do you still have?
I have a lot of goals, lofty goals. My goal is that, you know what, we've really built a strong infrastructure and great program the last 16 years in Michigan here. And my goal is to be able to take this program wherever God wants it to be. I can't imagine it not being in every city, you know, not helping as many kids as we can, because it's just simple things that help us live a happy life. And so many kids aren't happy.
If there's a listener that says, hold on a minute, Jack talked about her 50th surprise birthday party in 1997. I add that up. This woman acts like she's 25. She's got enthusiasm. She's happy, full of peace. I'm 60. You know, I'm just retiring.
You're not retiring, Jack, are you?
The listener says, Susie, I'm not sure what God wants me to do. What would you say to that listener?
Go out in your world and find a place to serve so that you can make it a better world. Einstein always said the greatest person, the happiest person, is the one that has learned to serve.
You, when we had breakfast a few weeks ago, you talked about the Emmaus walk.
Yeah,
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Actually, my dearest friend that I created Reaching Higher with, Linda Hannaford, was a brilliant teacher and best friend of mine, and you know, amazing Reaching Higher teacher. Anyway, she had passed away, and I lost. She said, you know what, we weren't making any money back then, and it wasn't taking off. And she says, you know, I think you should quit too. And I prayed about that, and actually, I took the Emmaus walk. And the walk to Emmaus is just about your relationship with Christ. And in that walk, I decided to lay Reaching Higher down at the foot of the cross and to never have it be a burden, but to always have it be a blessing. And Jack, I walked into my office Monday morning after that, and the Illich Charity for Children called me and gave me all these tickets to the Christmas Spectacular for my kids in the inner city.
You got enthusiasm, you're full of life, and you got a great confidence, too. How does one get that confidence?
I think it's with, you know what, the confidence comes from people believing in you, Jack, I think, and people rising you up and knowing that that miracle that you were made for God, that you can do anything and be anything, to keep God first in your life and foremost in everything I do. There isn't anything that I don't give God the glory for. He's given me reaching higher. I actually lost my own daughter, one of my daughters, 9 years ago to a rare cancer. And reaching higher, and God gave me the blessing of this organization to get me back out of bed, you know, after I lost my daughter. And, you know, I think that my passion is to help other people so that they don't lose their kids.
If there's a listener tonight that says, Susie, I've been thinking about ending my life. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that listener?
Mm-hmm. That God created you for a purpose, and that you're here, and that your purpose on this planet is unique to anybody else's purpose, and that God has a plan for your life just like he had a plan for me.
As our time winds down together tonight, would you lead us, Susie, in a closing prayer?
What a blessing to be able to do this. So God, I just ask a blessing on all those listeners out there today, that they would be lifted up by this time with Jack and I, and that they would look to a higher place in their life. And that if we keep our lives on higher, our eyes on higher ground, Lord, that you will give us a way to make this world a better place, to fill it with the love, the passion, the life, and the meaning that it's meant to have. That we cherish each and every day and cherish the opportunity to make a difference, not only in our lives, but in somebody else's life. That love is the strongest power that you have given us, God. It doesn't matter what religion we are. What matters is that we reach out and we touch one another with life. Because God is love, and those that live in love live in God and God in them. Amen.
If it be true, Susie Dauman, that we have to be God's arms and legs.
Yes.
You, ma'am, are doing a phenomenal job at that.
Thanks, Jack.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.